You're listening to the Nick Smith Podcast,
connecting you to living truth.
If you'd like to support our podcast, rate us on iTunes
or join our inner circle through patreon.com.
And don't forget to share this on social media so that all of your friends and family can know what you're listening to. Hey, welcome to the Nick Smith Podcast. We are your hosts,
Nick Smith
and Kylie Jo Smith.
Come on now, we back.
All right, so this is our, I'm not going to do the numbers of episodes. Yeah, we'll forget. It'll be so hard to keep track of it. But this is another episode
another
for you.
And another one. Or to listen to. You could just be listening.
If you're listening. Actually, you know what? That's a great segue. See? Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
If you are listening, how do I want to say that? So you...
Segway
you
back.
Can listen. No. Scratch that. You can listen to us if you're watching on YouTube, and that's the only way you know how to get a hold of this amazing content.
Bars.
You can also listen on Spotify,
yep.
On Apple Podcasts. You can listen on Amazon.
Apple.
You can find us on
Apple Podcasts. Apple. We also on Apple.
In case you didn't know.
Apple Podcast.
So yeah, find us
anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere you can listen, to a podcast, you should find us, and you can listen like when you're driving, because you shouldn't be watching while you're driving, right?
Or
right?
Listen, not that,
right?
Not that I'm soliciting for plays, but y'all, I'm soliciting for plays. You could just play it. You ain't even got to be in the room. You can just like play it, turn the volume down, do your work. Just, you know, help your boy and girl.
But I mean, you want to listen to it because like,
here and there, I mean.
It's good.
Sorry, I just had to.
You can go back and listen.
Also, like, both
for your own benefit.
Yep.
That's all. That was a quick little segue.
That's
thank
it.
You.
All right, we'll talk to y'all later. No, I'm just playing. okay, so today we want to talk to you guys about. Sorry, that sounds like the intro to a like an infomercial. Today we're talking to you about Metamucil. No, I'm just kidding.
It was a different
show. Do you
show.
Get enough fiber? No. If you've been following on the Nick Smith Podcast social media, you've seen that I am adding some accountability to my health journey. Accountability. It's hard to say that word sometimes with me being from California.
You don't want it.
That's my flesh responding. Accountability to my health journey. And so first, we want to thank you guys for following along, encouraging. That is awesome. But we just wanted to dive into a little bit of what brought us to this season and kind of what the Lord has been showing us in this. And so take it away, Kylie. Yeah.
So I think it was last year or 2 years ago, we had shared that like the Lord was putting us on a different kind of trajectory with our health. We had coaches. we were learning some different things. And I think physical health is just always a thing. Like it's just always been a part of our journey. I know that I went about it the wrong way as a performer and like looking at my body as like a product and a thing to like force into certain standards of beauty and health and all those things. And so I had to kind of come out of that, but not even realizing how much of the standards of beauty and health are influenced by people and by entities that aren't actually for us was another layer of that, and kind of stripping away the rose-colored glasses, I guess, about like, oh, this is what beauty really is, and this is what it means to be really healthy, and this is this and this. And most of it was about feelings and just like kind of navigating that and understanding what it means to feel healthy and to feel like you can love yourself. And so that was one part of it. And even after reaching some of the goals that we had and kind of getting to like a place in our, with our weight and all of those things, we were not satisfied. It was like,
yeah.
Okay, check the boxes, did the thing. Now what?
Yeah. I felt like once hitting a certain weight goal, I didn't feel any healthier. Because I didn't feel like the way that we went about that season of life brought any emotional, spiritual growth or intellectual growth even. There was reliance on a system, which is great. But once that system wasn't in place, we saw a shift right back to our old ways. And honestly, that's us as human beings. That's nature. That's the flesh. Whenever we have a system that we can rely on, an external system, a law, a rule, it keeps us in check up to a certain point. But then when that rule is removed or released or no one's looking, or you have an opportunity to step away from that rule, you eventually go back to what you feel in your heart. light shifted a little bit, y'all, it's all good. We just gonna keep rocking. It's a little more dramatic now, but we just gonna keep rocking with it.
It was like at that shift.
Yeah.
Things shift.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun. But yeah, so when those laws are removed, you start to see really what you believe about yourself, and you start to fall back into habits and routines and practices that are ingrained in you.
Yeah.
And you start to behave the way you believe you should. So without addressing the heart issues, without addressing the deeper stuff, all you're doing is behavior modification. And it's very easy to fall out of that and back into operating from identity, because that's what we do anyway as human beings.
Yeah. And like the legalism side, or the legalistic side of like weight loss and fitness is like, you do this, you get this result.
Yeah.
And like you said, it does work. Like laws work, laws that are good and that are put in place, to benefit a person, they will work for a time. But then once you get back to, living your life and something shifts, like you have a, you know, your schedule doesn't happen the same way that it normally does, or you find that you run out of this certain thing, or, you know, you can't quite follow the law to a T, then you'll start to modify the law just a little bit. Like, oh, well, I mean, I know I said I would eat every 2 hours, but oh gosh, I guess I'm hungry now. So I'm going to do an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you're then allowing yourself kind of this cheap grace where it's like, oh, well, I'll start again tomorrow. Oh, well, and like we all do it, and not just with food or dieting or any of that. We do it with other things as well. We do it in our relationships. Well, I didn't quite tell a lie. I wasn't fully a lie, but I just kind of left out this detail. Well, then next time it gets easier to actually like fully lie and commit to it.
Compromise,
like lies of omission just turn into flat out dishonesty, or, you know, we could get into all kinds of examples of it, but we all do it in different areas. And I think what you said about identity is huge. And that was a huge part of the shift for us, was like, why are we doing this? And when you start to ask those deeper whys, like, well, why am I hungry? Well, or am I hungry?
Yeah.
Am I hungry?
Why, like, am I eating this?
Why am I eating this? Well, because it tastes good. Well, why do I need to eat something that tastes good right now?
Or why is my only bent on pleasing taste? Why is my only motivation just
Jesus
releasing, you know, pleasure hormones whenever I'm eating food?
Yeah. And even looking at the deeper realities of that, and how food affects the brain, mm-hmm. and how food affects like our overall well-being. And for me, it goes back to looking at the garden. Like I had to go there, and I had a playlist, the Garden of Eden. Not like I don't have a garden. I live in the city.
Just walk back into my garden.
We don't have a garden. To my garden. Not yet. But I had to go back to scripture, and I had a playlist I was listening to when we were working out. And though I do believe, and I think many experts would probably agree, that our health and weight loss choices don't just happen at the gym.
Yep.
They happen like in the grocery store. They 100%. Happen like before you even get to the grocery store when you're making your meal plan. But for me, the physical aspect of discipline is the one that my brain goes to most readily. And so I try to capitalize on that. And when I was at the gym, I would listen to this playlist, and over again, I would hear these same scriptures. Like I would listen to this thing on repeat. And some of the scriptures were from Genesis, where God gave the garden and told the man and the woman to eat and to enjoy, like to enjoy this and to subdue the earth.
Yeah.
And so shifting it back to, okay, well, if I'm meant to enjoy this, like if food is meant to be enjoyable, mm-hmm. but it's also fuel and it's also meant to build up my body, how do I take the truth of what God's word says and apply it to what I do so that I can, my body and my brain can make that connection together to where food is no longer a thing to be restricted or a thing to use as a reward or a thing to, like to rule my life. Like food cannot be my ruler.
Can't be your God.
Right.
And I think a lot of my struggle when doing very restrictive dieting and, we've done a bunch of different things. I struggle because it takes like putting that boundary in place. It really is that like the law. It shows me just how much I desired certain foods. We did things where it's like, okay, no grains, no sugar, no. I'm like, wait a second, hold on now, easy.
whoa,
I can't
slow this train down.
I can't have no And no cupcakes. I'm not even really big on sweets. I'm like, I just want bread and cheese and fried food. I can't do that. But it is that reflective thing that shows me like it only amplified the need that I saw, or not the need, but the cravings and the desires that I saw. Yeah. Just like the law only amplifies the sin that we see in our life. Mm-hmm. And it really is, you have to appreciate grace and you have to walk in the grace of Christ to really be freed from that, to be freed from the law, still, you know, abiding by the law of Christ, but not focusing on the law that really just points out the sin in our heart. And so like when it came to food and exercise and all that stuff, I had to stop looking for laws to govern my life. And I had to start looking for where is Jesus's grace in leading me in the better path, in the path that leads to life and not just keeps me from doing bad. Because restraining me from doing bad only works as long as the restraints are there. But the purposing my heart to do good and purposing who I am to enjoy the good things that God has for me, that's a whole different journey. And that's really where God really put a shift in my heart, like really switched my focus.
Yeah, I'd say another thing that helped us make some of those necessary changes that were sustainable, that have been sustainable for most of the year, I think, like, since we made that commitment at the beginning of last year. Another thing was having these little people constantly around us.
We're talking about our children.
Yes. Sorry. I should probably clarify that. Our tiny humans who we are raising, yes. Having them, excuse me, become a little bit more aware of how food plays a role in our life.
Yes.
And there were things that, and it's crazy, y'all, how much body image, it's like, it's so pervasive. Like at, and even at the age of like 6 or 7, up to 10, like how, especially for a little girl, how quickly they start to realize certain things are considered beautiful and other things are not. And so when having conversation with my daughter, and even the way we would talk about ourselves, like there were times where like making a joke or something about oneself, I'm looking at you because you were the one who did it.
First off, I never made body jokes around our children. I only did that when their little ears weren't around because I'm aware not to damage our children.
Yes.
But my wife, when she sees things that our children pick up from other places, she's like, you do that. They didn't get that from me. That's just the world. That's what they get from the world.
Yes.
But yes.
Yes. But all that to say, like,
try to call me out in front of them.
All that to say, these little ears and eyes see everything. And they catch everything. And so even for myself, like, I recognize, like, my own critical heart towards myself when something wouldn't fit right. Or I'm like, oh my gosh, this is, and like having that disdain for my own body, like what does my little girl see? Oh, so I should probably criticize myself if I, like, I'm just trying to get inside of her head sometimes, be like, okay, well, how's she gonna, if she hears me say that, what is she gonna think about herself? Yeah. Because we are creating the tape that our children will play in their minds as they grow up. That narrative that they're gonna go back to, and like, do I want her to replay my voice being critical of my physical body and then her, you know, absorbing that?
That's a lot. I just want you to know that's a lot to hit everyone with.
Sorry.
It's true.
It's the truth.
100% true.
It's just the truth.
Man, the responsibility there. That's good.
That's why parenting well is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, parenting is not hard. Like, just keeping a child alive.
I mean,
most people can do that well.
Yeah.
Most people can keep a child alive.
But doing it well, intentionally.
Well. Yeah, that's
a
hard
thing. And that's a whole other episode. But so that was another element of like accountability is like, and also teaching our kids how to have a relationship with food. That it's not constantly this like, well, we're not eating that because we don't fit our pants today. Like we don't treat it like that. Like helping our kids to understand. And we have like our son who is, I don't want to say picky, but like he's very selective. Is that a nice way of saying?
As picky,
and has like aversions. Has aversions to like certain textures and things, and like that's hard too because we want to make sure you're like being nourished, but if all you want to eat is bread and cheese, like we gotta help. You gotta help your kid out, and so trying to find those creative ways to enjoy food and also to teach our children how it nourishes and That was part of our homeschool curriculum, was like even learning what is a carbohydrate and like how do we use fats and why are fats good? And and those are things that are like almost countercultural because of the low fat, low carb, low this, blah, blah, blah. Like all of these labels on different types of eating, which in my opinion are all really just trying to get back to some standard of beauty that we're never going to be able to attain. That are just keeping us like on the treadmill trying to get to it. But like, again, teaching our kids was one thing that this season has helped me. Like, oh, well, as I'm teaching them, I'm also learning and relearning things that are reinforcing what's good.
I think the kind of the last thing that I really want to focus on in this segment is what helped shape my or reignited that fervor is this idea of being in ministry and pointing people to Jesus. Because we had a pastor once tell us, when you're in ministry, you're in a fishbowl. Everybody's looking at you and everybody's scrutinizing your choices in your life because they're looking for authenticity. They're looking for continuity. They're looking for not you to be perfect by any means, but they're looking for you to live the way you say you believe. And so you have to be sure that the way you're living reflects what you say you believe. And so I had to take a real hard look at, as I'm leading a ministry where I'm pointing young adults to their purpose and their calling and trying to get them to fall in love with who Jesus calls them, I had to look at my life and it was like, am I representing Christ well in how I'm presenting myself first and foremost, and also how I engage with food? Because here's the thing, gluttony is one of the most welcome to sins in the church.
Oh my.
And I'm sorry, put your toes in.
I'm coming
down your block because I'm in my house talking about myself. So
literally, we are in our living room right now.
Literally in my own house. But no, what I'm saying though is I can only say this because I've experienced it, not because I'm judging through the window. I'm looking at the mirror and saying, you know what? This is something, it's easy to say, well, we had a fellowship dinner and it was a potluck. And yeah, I had four plates, but it was fellowship dinner. Or yeah, I took this family out and we went out to Hometown Buffet to eat all you can. Hometown, that's not even a thing anymore, is it?
I was going
to
say, I haven't heard that since I was like 10 years old.
What's the thing? Golden Corral.
Okay.
We're going to Golden Corral. We're going to a smorgasbord. We're going somewhere. Bob Evans. I'm trying to eat all I can eat because it's cheap and we can get a lot of food. But like, what does that say about you and your relationship to food and your relationship to Christ? And like, there's a lot of subtext in there. And for me, it was convicting. It was like, I don't want to be disqualified from ministering to somebody. Because I grew up in the hood. And with my brothers, like, if you grew up in a family where y'all roasted each other, you'll know where I'm coming from. The first thing you talk about is whatever's wrong with that person. Doesn't matter what it is. Like, that's the first thing. And so I was always a chunky little kid. And so when me and my brothers would argue and fight, it would be like, oh, shut up, fat boy. And like, that was just the thing, right? That's just what you do. And I knew they loved me. It was all out of love. My other brother, we call him skinny all the time. I think we like gave each other complexes for a while because he was like, I ain't that skinny. Anyway, it was like complexes. It's what you do. It builds character. But anyway, growing up in that environment, I say that to say, whenever somebody doesn't like what you're presenting and they want to buck up against, they're going to call out something in your life that they don't like anyway. Mm. And so as someone who's pointing people to Jesus, I don't want the issues in my life to be the stumbling block that says, well, why should I listen to you? You can't even, you know, put the fork down. You can't even stop. You know what I mean? Like, yes, we all have struggles and we're not called to be perfect, but I want my walk to be reflective of the grace of Christ. And I want my walk to be one that says, hey, look, it's all out there. I'm trying to submit everything to God. And I don't succeed every day, but there it is. And so that was really convicting for me in this season. Because, again, we spent a season where we were doing very domestic type work. Mm-hmm. Didn't have that feel of pastoral ministry. Still very much was shepherding. But it was corporate. It wasn't in the church.
Yeah.
The faith aspect had to be our why. It couldn't be our outright, you know, up in front reasoning. And so the shift from that to where we are now really brought that conviction back.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the word you use there was disqualify. Like, if there's anything that I see, like me personally, when I look at Christian culture that oftentimes is brought out is like, well, it's two things. One is like, if you're
how many?
That many.
Two things.
It's like, if your God is so loving and your Jesus is so great and all those qualifiers, then why are your Christians so fill in the blank? Mm. Usually it's, mean, unloving,
hypocritical,
judgmental, hypocritical,
all that.
It's like character traits. Mm-hmm. But then also another criticism of Christians is often, why are your Christians so unhealthy?
Yeah.
Like if
relationally, physically, mentally, emotionally.
And so that is something that is convicting. Like that is something that like, okay, well, it shouldn't be that the Christians who are well-known or who are out there teaching and whose personalities are well-known are physically indicative of a life of indulgence. Mm. Like, it shouldn't be that way, because our God is a God of lavish love, mm-hmm, and grace, but it's not cheap.
Yeah.
And he does not call us to overindulge in the things of this world. And so it's a hard thing, because I remember watching like a guy on a podcast who was talking about this in like great detail and a lot more, maybe even it could be interpreted as harshly, mm-hmm, on the way he was saying it. But I was like, no, he's right though. Like, this is something that we have to be able to engage in our culture, mm-hmm, as Christians, and say like, if we're not supposed to look like the world, like if we're truly not supposed to look like the world, what is different about us? And it can't just be this little private thing that we keep.
Yeah.
Like, how are we engaging with food in a way that is holy and is good, and it celebrates the things that God celebrates, and it turns away from the things that God turns away from?
Yes.
Like, how are we doing that? And how are we doing even our physical life? Like, I'm not saying we have to spend 25 days a month in the gym. Like, you don't have to spend the majority of your time doing the thing that everybody else is doing. But like, what are you doing? How is your physical discipline different? Because it has to be different. If nothing else, it has to be different because of the reason we do it, is so that we don't become disqualified, so that making our bodies our slaves and telling them to obey what is good, that there's fruit from that that we can see. But also, like, in what way are we displaying the glory of Christ?
Part of the journey, I believe, as a Christian and understanding health in general is getting down to the why. Like you had said, something you had said about knowing that like God has blessed us with all of this. I don't remember how you said it, but it was good. It was great. And it was amazing.
Go back and watch it.
Go back and watch. Listen. But the thought of, why do we engage in food? Why do we engage in working out? Why do we do what we do? Like, the why has to be different than the world. Mm. That's what it was. That's what you said.
Yeah.
Our why has to be different. And I feel like when I ask myself those deeper why questions in my own personal journey, a lot of times my why I'm having a third cookie isn't to glorify God.
Mm.
And then there are also times why I'm at the gym isn't to glorify God either. Like, I have to ask myself those questions. Why am I doing this? And I believe if we are to trust God with everything, including our bodies, we have to take the natural rhythms that God has already built into the world, times of fasting and feasting, times of Sabbath rest, and times of working. Like, there is a season for everything. And in everything, we can give glory to God. And I think until we can get to that point personally, it's going to be a lot harder to have that sustainable, long-lasting health journey, because the things we're going to be doing are for vanity's sake.
Yeah.
And again, speaking personally, that's something that I've struggled with, is like, again, only working out because, well, I want to look so-and-so. I want to look good because I need to be at this weight. I need to, or only eating because I'm like, dang, deep down I'm frustrated, or I'm angry, or I'm really happy and I want to give myself a treat. Like, none of it has anything to do with my identity in Christ.
Mm.
And so as a believer, I think that's where we need to head with our health journey.
Yeah. Well, and also acknowledging like health, your physical health can oftentimes be just a symptom, mm-hmm, of something else.
That's good.
And so, like, and I mean, doctors know that when you come in with something like, oh, hey, I have this rash. Okay, well, that's a symptom. But there might be something else going on under the surface, or even in your gut. And so being able to go into those questions with the Lord and to say, okay, well, I'm feeling like this, or I'm experiencing this in my physical body. Well, what's underlying in that? What is that about? And maybe it takes having a professional alongside you to help you with that. Maybe you need a coach, maybe you need this, but just in our experience, you know, following the law was good to teach us what was wrong with us.
So good, yeah.
But it was not something that we were able to find gave us life. And we had to learn the hard lessons and come to those conclusions about who we were and what we were attaching to our identity that was preventing us from experiencing true physical health. And so
yeah.
That's where we're at. That's what the journey we're on, because we haven't like still arrived at any place of like, and now we're the healthiest we will ever be.
We're on the mountaintop. Come find us if you can. And we will
bless
you. If you
can stand the light. Anyway, no, I'm totally joking. But no, but you can follow, like Nick's got some really cool videos and stuff about
and more
the journey. And yeah, just know if you are a millennial, especially, but if you are on that journey with us of like, oh my gosh, I've tried this and this and this and this and this, and I'm done with it.
Yeah.
That you can join us here. It's really fun. We're super
safe space.
Awesome.
We're safe space for that. All right. Yeah. Cool. Well, God bless y'all. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that this episode has connected you to Living Truth.
Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Nick Smith Podcast. We are so glad that you joined us, and we hope that you'll consider subscribing so that you can tune in each week. Don't forget to rate and share this podcast. And if you haven't already, follow us on social media. If you want to be a part of our family's mission to entertain, educate, and empower others, please consider becoming one of our Patreon supporters. Exclusive Nick Smith merchandise is available to you through our online store at www.nicksmithpodcast.com.